Good morning, Ma.
Good morning.
Hi, Mama.
Good morning. So, good morning to you.
Morning. So we're talking about Parshas Shkolim, and we're now up to Parshas Zohar. And the Sotah is saying, Shabbos before Purim, take out two Sifri Torah, read in the first one the Parsha of the week, and the second one Parshas Zohar. So this year it'll be Tetzaveh, which is quite common, from the end of Kisetze. So that's the Nitta Gavriel. I saw in Piskei Tshuva something interesting. It reminded me of something else. So we know that women don't have a chiyuv to hear Parsha Zohar. It says as follows. So he says as follows. Sorry, just lost the place. I have it. Sorry about this. Very annoying where I'm setting. Okay, since I can't find that, I'll say the other thing I can find straight away. So it gives different reasons why women are potter from hearing the Megillah. Other question Piskei Tshuva asks is, why is there no brocha on reading Parsha Zohar? It's a mitzvah, so why not make a brocha? So it says there's no brocha on hashchosa, on destruction. Yeah? And he compares that to, he brings in a note, compares that to the shiro, that the malachim want to sing shiro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, don't sing. He said, Ma'aseh yodai tov bayom, v'atev erim shiro lefonai. And I said, I don't want you to sing. So it sounds like, from that, the Malachim shouldn't sing because the Egyptians are drowning. Yeah, that's Pashto Pshat. Then he brings a Pshat, this is the time in Hagim, from Shmelkum in Nicholsburg, said a very, very nice Pshat. He said, the time of Sancheiriv, he surrounded Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up a little window in Shemayim, and they heard the Shiro from the Chayas HaKodesh, and they all died. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you sing Shiro, the Midrashim are going to die. I don't want them to die that way. I want them to die by drowning, because it's Middo Kenegan Middo, they drown the children. Therefore, don't sing Shiro, not because I don't want to hear Shiro. I don't want to hear your Shiro now, because that'll kill them. Don't mind hearing B'nai Yisrael's Shiro, but not your Shiro. So that's what he brings there. And we've just run out of time, so I'll now introduce our speaker. Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London. Sunday, Kafhei Shvat, 23rd of February, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich Shlita, Megillas Esther, Part 2. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Frankel, the Chvot Tzumcha Mitzvah of Yitzi Frankel Neriyoye, whose mitzvah took place yesterday. Yi Rotzen Shizku Harov, Uskeno, Rav Nacha, Semenu, Mikol Yotzei, Chalatehem, Vesvus HaShuev, Ma'achalim, Ba'milchamo, Shiachsu Levotem, L'Sholem, Bimheiro.
You. What did I prepare sources today for this? I can begin with the following. Keep always starting with a point of humor. Unfortunately, it's one of the only jokes I know. There were two people who had shops opposite one another. One had a Judaica store, and one had a tech store. The uncle, let's call him, has the Judica store. It's got beautiful silverware, ornaments, amazing. But he never has one geneva. Martin, let's call him whatever you want to call him, Bill, the guy across the road, not Jewish. He's got this tech store, MacBooks, Windows, you name it. He's got the whole range. Every day there's a geneva. So he comes over to Yankel one day. He says, tell me, well, what's your secret? Yankel says, look at my doorpost. I have a mezuzah. No one can steal from me. It's shame. It protects me from everything. Do you mind selling me one? You got a Judica store? Of course, with pleasure. He gives him the most expensive $1,000 mezuzah you can get. You know, you go to the Ben Gurion airport, this thing's bigger than your house, puts on his next weekend, he's back with the mezuzah, take it back. Yanka looks at him, I don't get it. It didn't work. Oh, it worked so well, I didn't get one geneva. Why are you returning it? The amount of mishalochim I got, it wasn't worth it. Why do you have a mezuzah? What's the point of a mezuzah? I'm a hand of a mezuzah. I remember the Eibishter is with me. I put the entire time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I take Torah with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why do you have a Megillah? Learn Megillah. The Megillah's got Yesodos. Megillah's got more Yesodos than people would have what it is. The way a Gemara is written, would have a Masechta Megillah next to him the whole time. Well, we don't know what it means to have to go through Megillah. Well, we can try. Now, Achdus is key to our survival. Last week I made a big point out of it. There's quite a number of sources which I am emailing out the organizers. So everything will be available in today's speech as well. If you miss a source that I mentioned, it's all here. I was meticulous to point them out. So we mentioned the Gemara and Gittin, how a series of events connect to bring about the potential destruction of Am Yisrael. I want to elaborate a bit about that still. Well, I would love to make it all compact and available in one share. I appreciate how difficult it can become when considering the magnitude of what Megillah is. Especially considering the fact that Megillah is not written in a fashion where you just see everything. Because that's the purpose of Purim. It's meant to remind us Hashem runs the very fabric, the very nature of the universe. But the very point that Hashem put into nature is the nace, and I'll bring it up later in the shir again. But the idea that we have shkolim, the Gemara brings out, pushed away, the gezerah, where Haman came with his amount and offered to Achashverosh. We're going to Tosfos there again. But all this is right at the beginning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe. It's only through Nevuah that Esther Malka can see this. These are things which are, again, hidden from us. When the Kuddah society crumbling, the Gemara mentions Tefillah, Shema, and the lack of sending children Kufiyates, Amid Beis, and Shabbos, which we went through, but I didn't feel we had enough time. The feedback I got was to just stretch it a bit more. Marsha and other Mefarshim, which I touched upon, parents simply didn't care. I know we mentioned the Kamsa about Kamsa situation, father and son relationship. It should frighten us how many leading Rabbonim sat at the head table. The Gemara getting again, makes it very clear that they all sat there and did nothing. You've got yourself a victim. Whole discussion of how we see him as a victim, and we saw Stantastar, the Muslim movement, the whole famous story about the chuppah and the guy who used to make shoes, and he rose to great prominence. He was a shoemaker, and one of his fellow men who used to work with him on the same area were invited to the chuppah, and they pointed, will you fix my shoe? And he fell off. How far should he have taken the heart? Kamsa was living in a society, if we consider the Marsha's point, the father wouldn't step up for him and allow this to continue, but not just that, the Rabbonim sat at a table and did nothing. So when we consider Shema wasn't done and children were not educated, then the way you watch the Gemara list those reasons, you see a domino effect of children not being brought up in a constructive society, whether it's a society instead that caused itself to tear each other apart. We'll see the link to Mishnah Monos shortly. But it's very important to understand this. The Marsha on the Gemara in Shabbos Kivitah Samad Beis, he says that the Kohuna was corrupt. And I mentioned this in passing, but the Kohuna was so badly corrupt, Rabbonim were too afraid to speak up. Kohuna was already corrupt. Not saying all the Rabbonim, but there was unfortunately a massive wave of Rabbonim who were too uncomfortable to stand up for the truth. They were drowned out. the kahuna was corrupt, and Moshe says, a kohen is supposed to give Musa. Aaron HaKohen lost the right to go into Eretz Yisrael, and because as much as he was Mabit and Sholem and he brought Am Yisrael together, a kohen still has to be able to be a very fine balancing act, which is what made his idol Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen so unique. He was able to be that balancing act, that point right there in the sand where he could be someone who was extremely strong. He would kill, so he could bring back, but he was a zealot in the right way, something that requires its own share. At the same time, he has such a hava for Am Yisrael and an incredible love for Am Yisrael. And that requires a very fine balance that Pinchas could do. So good, a kohen loves you. A kohen was corrupt. Moshe says, you paid money, you became a kohen. Take the tour if you ever buy the kohen there. They'll show you the spot where the mikvah where they paid money and they went in, up the stairs, into the it's insane. Kohanim. Rabbonim, everything fell apart. So everything we know wasn't a staple. Pinchas knew how to get it right. I once had somebody say to me, you know, you start off with the Megillah, why bring in the Chorban? And I explained to him that when you learn about, you're not a mechanic and your car's not working. If you want to know what makes your car work, when it's not working, take it to the mechanic, let him show you the part that's not working, why your car hasn't started, and you have an idea of how your car functions. To understand how a car works, you have to see what's not working. If you can see that, then the rest comes in and it makes sense. To understand what makes Purim, the halachas, and everything fit the way it does, understand how we lost everything. So that point of society falling apart feeds big time into Mishloach Manos, which we're going to get into. But the idea of a kohen, of Am Yisrael being led by Rabbonim, is critical. Mordechai Tzadik stood up and said, do not go to this party. You see again, there was no respect to Rabbonim. Nobody listened to Mordechai Tzadik. It wasn't even a question. Not just him, other, do not go to the party. Nobody listens. I once heard a very good point. One of the Gedolim gave Moshe Shmuz before he was Nifta. And he said, I am apologizing to anybody I've offended with my Shmuzim. And I like to apologize to anybody I did not offend with my shmuzim. You know, the idea isn't over here to make you feel miserable and bad. The idea is to build you. And that's the idea of our Rabbonim, our Gedolim. It's very important, the Torah Shebiksav, the Torah Shebaalpeh. Without that, what would we do? We're our Kshodim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving me the Torah. 10 Makkas, he says Mitzrayim, splitting the sea. I've got no problem with that. I believe in Hashem. Dosan and Aviram believed in Hashem. My famous Medrash. They were in the sea. The sea was, they were going to drown in the sea because they joined Pari and his forces. And Hashem split the sea for them. They didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. The issue was Moshe Rabbeinu. Kabbalists were bought by lip service. It's not how it counts. Moshe's got a whole piece on that as well. So, in understanding our story of Purim, as I told you, the mechanics, understanding what needs fixing. The idea isn't alien to us in Megillas Esther. And quite sadly, it's a historic problem. Megillas Rus, another Megillah, talks about Vayibi Meisha Foyta Shoiftim. And Miam Lois really highlights that in several sources, not just what we learn in Chazal. He really goes to town on this. The Yibi Meisha Foyta Shoiftim, not the judges were judging, the judges were being judged. So if a judge said something, be a chacham and bring him raias from wherever you want. You wouldn't accept what he has to tell you. Society fell apart. There is no guidance. There's no one to guide you down the right path. You end up with a big problem. We also mentioned, and I'm going to mention again, Daf Yudam and Aleph, all the Vayehis. And this is why the Vayehi Misha Feta Shaiftim brought on them and Sechtas Megillah was a massive issue. Why Am Yisrael suffered. If you're not listening to what I've given to you, for an Am to survive, there needs to be respect and achdus. I'm going to give you several sources for that. A tactic which has remained quite strong, and the Yisrael knows how to exploit very well. And again, sources which are too many to cover, which will go throughout the history of Am Yisrael to show you the issue. Haman had to calm down Achashverosh. I mentioned last time he hates us more than Haman. Yet knew not to start up with Hashem. It's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he led Am Yisrael through the desert, midway, says, I can't cope with them. The nation, I just don't know how am I supposed to cope with them. Imagine you have a Rav for 40 years. You have a Rav. I mean, I always have Rachmanis at 80 years old. Moshem, it's a young guy. But 80 years old, you get chosen to do a job of Rabbanis. A smart person would say, no, thank you. You know, what is the pshat? 8 years old. He had to. You have to get the kush before he became a leader. He had to reach to be a leader of Am Yisrael. And even then, he cried out to Hashem. And yet, before he leaves Am Yisrael, he gives them over. Am Kshei Erev, the stubborn, stiff-necked nation. You would think, you know, the guy with the big post in the back, I love you, thank you. It's like putting it down very quickly, you know, like, whoa, this is not when it, this is not the farewell party we expected. Moshe Rabbeinu Chazasi was giving him the greatest compliment. It's your akshonus that will allow you to survive. It's your akshonus that will destroy you. The akshonus has allowed Am Yisrael all these years to have the Marbitzei Torah and Talmidei Chachamim and those who refuse to cave in to pressure. It's the same Akshanus, unfortunately, as well, that has torn us apart. It's in a really awkward position. Ahasuerus wants us dead, but he can't just kill us. We'll discuss that in a few parts of the series. We were too financially important, especially in Shushan. Ahasuerus had other Medinas, but we were being taxed right there and then the rest of the population were not being taxed, which is quite unique. He taxed us and gave tax relief to everybody else. We're picking up the slack for everybody else. And again, it's a very, very tragic example of history repeating itself. Famously, Chazal say Pari, when he wanted us to build Mitzrayim, he didn't go and say, be slaves. No, he said, come, we'll pay you, do it for your country. And Jews are naturally patriotic, so they went, they took part. Then the money went back. Eventually, we were slaves. But we were already given... brings down that we were the ones who went up to battle and went to war for Paro. We already gave so much to Egypt, and yet we still, Am Yisrael are people who are being subdued, and they are paying, and they still. Yet Ahasuerus, I feel, appears to be quite awkward for Ahasuerus. He has to get rid of the nation that's paying the money. Well, why would he do it? The Eden under his rule, brought down by them, were paying extra taxes, all the sources, as the Persians were giving given tax-free lives. Especially in Shushan. So Haman calmed him down at that point. He'll pay him everything. Tosfos, in Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Haman calculated to pay for each of the 600,000 male neshamas that would have had to have paid their half a shekel. It's a very interesting Tosfos, I'll explain. Also see the Shlot and Bereshus. He quotes the Ariana point, which is far scarier than considering. And we'll go through the Bnei Yeshua as well, how much time we have for all of it. But 600,000 neshamas exist at any time in Am Yisrael. So besides for the many millions you will consider, those 600,000 neshamas that left are still among us, the Ari brings down. There's a Medrash as well, and it's an Ashtalei that he brings down, the Medrash in Esther Abba. He says that, he admits to Ahasuerus, I don't really know how many Jews there are. What I do know is when they left Mitzrayim, the 600,000 males. I'm going to target that. So again, we need to understand what's going on. I mentioned this to Yeshua. He writes Kabbalistically, the Jewish nation does have those 600,000 neshamas. And it's quite scary because he brings the Ahasuerus knew this. He knew what Haman was getting at, and we'll come back to the thesis. He didn't want to take the blame. He wants them dead. So stop for a second. The taxes, everything else, according to what we know, Ahasuerus is putting strings here, hoping the Haman will come, and he will agree to this. And the Gemara in Yudalev, Daf Yudalev, describes Ahasuerus as a man with a mound of dirt. Till you got Haman who's got the mound, and one wants the mound of dirt for his you know, ditch. And they both offered money initially. Haman, the one who needs that mound, he turns to Ahasuerus and says, you know, I'll pay you, the man with the mound. He said, no, you keep it for free. Take it for free. I just don't want it. Ahasuerus doesn't care about the money. It's one big spiel. We should be scared of Ahasuerus. It's when Ahasuerus, when people mention Ahasuerus, not his actual name in history books. There's a reason he's given that name. He was an extremely dangerous person, a real headache. Well, what's more frightening is not just is he manipulating events, Ahasuerus, throughout the whole story. And we'll understand when we get to the end of today how far Ahasuerus went in the design of the party to destroy us. Haman. Haman is a problem. He's an Amaleki. We mentioned this last time. Haman hates you or what you represent. You're a Yid. I'm an Amaleki. I'll go against you with Gophers for said everything I have, even if logic doesn't make sense. And we'll see in the Shir. He immediately chaps before his end is up. What's going on? Before he went home and his wife told him, from Sheva Binyamin, no! He realizes, but he's so bent on destroying us, Achashverosh, is evil to a point of... he makes Haman look like a puppy. He's a Malek, he's like a dog, but he mamash makes him look like a puppy. The discussion over who was worse. Agadah of Pesach, Pare, famous discussion we mentioned. Pare won't destroy all the boys. Lavan won't destroy everyone. Who's worse? And one point of discussion is that the rule stands, Hashem never wipes us out of existence. So this is what's so frightening with Haman. He points out a systematic way of annihilation when it comes to the Jewish people. Destroying us by having us divided. It's not all in one group stage of destruction. He says, let's do it in waves. And we'll discuss how that works. Now I'll give you a little heads up. Yesh na'am echad mefuzel mefoyred b'no amim. Very important, that line. Because that line is why, well, it's machlokes. Why we want to discuss it now, we have Shalachmanus. Achshverosh, he doesn't even mind the tax, as I just told you. His dream is being fulfilled. Haman is doing what he wants. Achshverosh is a gazan. He's a ganav. Haman is the gazan. Two very different kinds of thieves. One does it before Hestia. You know, he's not the two ganav and the gazan between the two of them. Achashverosh, he will do things in the derech of a like a neighbor. He doesn't want people to see you. You know, it is Haman who before Hestia will go and kill the Jews. Achashverosh is scared of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But his fear is in Yiras Hashem. We often hear, you see, Mises Hashem or Truth Shah Nakias or Mistav Yir Shemayim. But many people, when it comes to doing tzedakah, they do it in such a beautiful way. I'm so mumchim at this. Today, it's more and more beautiful to see how they do it. They will not allow the honor of the Yid to go down. And many Yidin before Pesach, whether it's Kimcha the Lamdim, whether it's Kimcha, it's given to all different people. They go out of the way to make you feel respect. You feel like royalty. They won't make a person feel less than. That's true tzedakah. That's what true chesed is. Look at the world where the guy's cutting a massive ribbon. And everyone knows you've given whatever you've given, you know. Such tzaddikim. Even governments, when they go and they give all the money to third world countries, you think there's no gain out of it? What real tzaddikim is, doing a chesed, or doing a kindness, true to Shem Shemayim. At the same point, Mitzvah Shem points out to us what it means to have the true Yira. You know, the point of Yira, people think, Yira, it's fear, it's fear, it's fear. Just, you know, rubbish. It's a respect between you and Hashem. It's a loving bond that you have Yira to Hashem. The idea that the Gemara tradition says you don't just fear your father, he's going to hate you. What is this? Your fear is a fear that you don't want to let down. You don't want to disappoint. It's a beautiful moshel of what real teshuva. Real teshuva is, I heard from Rabbi Geshem Elishlita when he was Mashkiach and Gated. Very powerful. A son comes home and he hits his father. And he comes running to, I'm really sorry, he starts to cry. And his father says, I don't know, why are you crying? I forgave you. And the son says, you think I don't know that I'm forgiven? You forgive me because you're my father. I'm upset because I wish I could go back in time and remove the slap. That's the level. It's not that I'm saying, you're going to forgive me because you're my father. Mazel tov. I don't need that kind of forgiveness. You're going to give it to me anyway. You live through Yom Kippur, one point in the Chazal, you're forgiven. I want us to be so clean, it goes back before the slap. That's the relationship I want with my father. That's Yira. Achashverosh doesn't have Yira. He's scared of the outcome. Therefore, the whole calculation we rang the big dikhuna, that's not Yira. They say, David HaMelech, Moses and Hedron. David HaMelech, you get the sources. David HaMelech, him versus Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, one day starts to sing a Shira to Hashem. He was about to surpass the entire Tehillim of David HaMelech. Comes the Malach and he hits on Nebuchadnezzar, gets a tap, stop. He stops praising Hashem. David HaMelech, you know, I taught this to a year six boy. He turns around to me and says, Rabbi, we call that teacher's pet. And I went to him thinking, oh yeah, that's a good point. And then I saw what the Kotzker Rebbe said. And I went back to the Talmud the next day, and the Kotzker Rebbe says, what's the difference between a Nebuchadnezzar and David HaMelech's Tehillim? I tell you, he said, David HaMelech had the son that tried killing him. He didn't stop saying to him. He had a father before that tried killing him. He didn't stop saying to him. He had mishpachas to look down at him. He didn't stop saying to him. He went the way, he didn't stop saying to him when it got tough. Look, and that's, I guess, one little part, you stop. That's how much your Tehillim is worth in Shemaim. Your Shira, yeah, the Shira could have surpassed his Shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't the same. What is true year? What is it? Achashverosh is always trying to recall. Haman, he's an Amalek, he doesn't care. So we see the idea behind what Haman is saying pleases Achashverosh. Divide and conquer Am Yisrael. It's a split nation. This is the subject of a well-known machloikus within Manasle Alevi. Explains that the Purim story took place because Haman badmouthed the Yidden. He says that they engage in personal feuds and do not get along with one another. This is alluded to Yeshna Am Echad Mefuzo Mefayod Bin Amim. There is one nation which is dispersed, scattered among the nation, lacking any ability for unity. To demonstrate the falsehood of this libel, Mordechai and Esther therefore put in Shalach Malas. They should be given to one's friend Dafka. Such a big deal? Tell me, some rabid anti-Semite starts saying things about your people? We're going to pay attention to this Meshigana? No, because Haman's right. Look, were they listening to Mordechai before the party? Was it full unity on the approach we're taking? Are we unified? They were proud. Shavsachem Gam Yochad. Was it a Jewish identity? Did they care enough for one another? Things were amiss. Haman says, we can get them. Their achdus isn't there. We can destroy them. Ah, Hashverish chills out. And by the way, I want to point out to you, why did Achashverosh wait till he heard that? He had till this point, he had the party. Party didn't work out. Mora says, Mordechai was a Mashkiach, so was Haman. So there was already a stumbling block there for him. Gemara. But here, they're scattered, they're not together, there's no afters. Again, I want to point out, when we wake up and look what happened on the October the 7th, and when we continue and look at what the trajectory of Am Yisrael, before that, the machloikas on the streets, Yom Neroim, prior, it was terrible. And I'm not saying for one second that I am trying to paint a picture that we don't have what to work on. And I'm not talking about fighting over parking spaces. Okay, we're talking about the idea of how we approach one another. I try not to be too much of an optimist. I know, I'm sure if it's a stiff-necked nation. What's tragic, and it just makes me want to cry, both my bubbles, Holocaust survivors. Many people, everyone knows Holocaust survivors, come from Holocaust survivors, Mishpachos of Holocaust survivors, and unfortunately those survivors are going on. They're going. Our grandchildren, will they? No. And the idea of what they saw, the ashes, now they rebuilt, what it meant to be united, what it meant to be strong, what it meant to be together. My Baba once asked me such a powerful, simple question. I think I was 10. Simply, why is it when there's tragedy we come together? My little 10-year-old doesn't have to really start thinking that philosophy for the next whatever years. But it really struck me so strongly. We were learning. I can't remember what we were learning. Baba used to love to quiz me after thinking, why is it tragedy that brings us together? Why is it every tragedy? Oh! Why is it Yenawad did a good business deal, he had a child, she had that? No. Tragedy. So many simchas to celebrate together. It's tragic that tragedy pulls us together when simcha should be the unifier. Purim is your simcha. Wake up. So powerful in Shemayim, the idea, according to one point in the Zohar, is to be shekha, because if that day was to be fully utilized, it would be terrible. The reason the Sultan had the power, Chazal famously tell us, to make a dead body of Moshe Rabbeinu appear in Shemayim, was because they reached such a high level, so there was equal out. Purim idea of that inability, not just that, Hashem can use a Haman, and use Haman against himself, and make it all work out. But again, such a powerful day. Well, we're coming together based on Mordechai and Esther, so unify. Mishloach Manos to this one or that one. Trumas Adeshin explains, he disagrees there. The purpose of giving one's acquaintance Mishloach Manos is to ensure poor people enjoy Taka, a great festive Suda, Purim Suda, although most people are not poor, and therefore do not need food given to them for the Suda. Chazal instituted that Mishloach Manos be given to wealthy people, but listen to this, as well, so as not to embarrass the poor person. So let's jump back in. The level of care is the Derech Hashem. You can think about what the Gemara again the Megillah teaches us. It's a frightening thought. The same Tosfos on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, which addresses Haman's deal with Achashverosh, which we have just mentioned before, actually should come up, and I'll explain this. Tosfos talks about him turning around, I want to elaborate there, complaining to Chazal when he sees, we saw the Rabbanim were learning with Mordechai HaTzadik Torah, and he goes, he says, your little kmitza, because it was teaching of the kmitza, the Korban Mincha, has pushed away all the money that I was offering over to Achashverosh. What did Haman see that got him all excited? Well, there's a little bit of flour, a handful of flour, and he gives this interesting statement. And it really requires a little bit of Ian. Again, that Tosfos, it deals with Haman's deal with Achashverosh. It needs this. So the Ian Yaakov and the Ian Yaakov highlights on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in which the deal is discussed. Why is it not discussed on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis? Why is it that we waited off? Why is it only later? It just doesn't stand off. Tazayin Amud Aleph. Why don't Taisus wait till now? Consider then what the Kor Mincha meant, please. A person who brings a meal offering, Kor Mincha. The flour offering was called the Kor Mincha, the same name by which we call the daily often prayer service we do today. Okay, the word Mincha literally means a gift. A sacrifice of flour may not be as emotionally compelling as a big korban, but by other animals. But the hole in the kudah that the korban is brought down is the idea that anyone can afford such a korban, can bring a korban, that they are not left behind, that the yam are all bringing korbanos, and that the poor man with his korban mincha is celebrated, Rashi says, is such an important thing. Nobody, oh no. Rabbi Isaac, Tosfos is giving us his commentary over here on something powerful and deeply moving. This was a statement of Haman. What's he saying? It's pushed away your kmitza for this korban mincha, where even the poor man can go along and bring it and be part of Am Yisrael. And there's that idea that you're all worthy and that you're all important. Here I'm coming, making a deal with Ahasuerush. Mephorahs are separated. They're not. Your little kmitza's destroyed it. He chaps. So even your korban mincha, what's going to do to everything I built? His argument, Ahasuerus, they're split, they're now united, Mephorah and Mephorah, no. Mordechai is teaching them what? The kmitza of a korban mincha, where even the poorest of men can go and bring it. The small measure of flour that is removed from a korban mincha and burned on the Mizbeach. The Gemara relates that this is what he was teaching them, the law of kmitza, and this is where Haman begins to realize, we've lost, I've lost. He questioned the Rabbanim and they pointed out to him, he says, there's no way. I am not going to succeed to destroy them. See, he continues. And the whole Bilam sees Mashiach. He sees the greatest Nevuah when he's trying to curse Am Yisrael. And he goes on with that whole attitude to destroy Am Yisrael. When the Rosh is a Rosh, a Rosh goes down a path. He's going all the way. Oh, but he knows this Kemitz has pushed it all off. And he says, I've been pushed off. It's pushed away, mate. The unique Gemara point is Mephorosh and the Gemara. That Lamed Aleph from his base again, Avraham Avinu. Asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how will my nation, when there is no Bisa Meidus, I get it, it's the last, second last Lamed of Megillah, how will my nation be able to serve you with no Bisa Meidus? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how, when they say the Korbanos, everybody will be able to take part, nobody won't be able to. Hashem foresees everything to such an extent, there's nothing to. Or Mepharshim bring down Hazinu, the Shemaim Varas both stand as witnesses for Am Yisrael into the future, because they will stand there and they will be able to say, Shemaim Varas, nature itself will come to their defense. They won't have to worry. How through this achdus, this idea, even the most simplest of kabbalos, chesbonos which are done and undertaking all the way through, is amusing to so many levels. Rav Yaakov Kuli goes through it. There are multiple Mepharshim I really want to go through, but how long do I have left? No. So I'm going to very quickly have to end off with the following. Achashverosh, his entire derech is to make calculations with Hashem. I'll end off with this footnote to continue next time. It's a very, very, very powerful point, and he brings it on the Salevi and the Al-Shech HaKadosh, who highlight this point. If you look at the Pasuk, Chur Kapas Eschelis Ochus Bechav Divutz V'agomon and Galilei Chesef, you're talking about Cheshbonos. Just to see how far away. Let me finish off the pasuk. Yeah, Rabbi Yisrael, we're talking about every description of the couches, the marble pillars, the gold. What's the one thing missing? You all know this. Music. There's no mention. Every gashmius, every sensory is there. No music. What did he say there? Ahasuerus said, I'm not allowing music. I'll get everything gashmius, not music. Why? Music can mahara a person do teshuva. Even there will be a bunch of nudges playing your violins, that's going to make them do teshuva? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not having music. Because if there's music, they'll stay longer at the simcha. I can't make them do teshuva. I have to destroy this nation. I'll do everything to make them do avirus. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the music, they'll stay longer, they'll be punished more. All our chesbonos in the world, Rabbi said, that we can do over Yishdin, the Yishdain, and there's Rabbi Shlom, Shiyun, Part 3.